السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، عما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، رب زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا، اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما، آمين يا رب العالمين. Before we begin, I'd like to make an announcement. Inshallah, next week on May 31st, we will be off for Eid. So there will be no class because of Eid al-Adha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to take advantage of these blessed days of Dhul-Hijjah and worship Him in the best way possible, because these are the best days of the entire year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all, and may He allow us to celebrate Eid al-Adha with our families. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So there will be no class on May 31st. You'll be off for Eid, inshallah. And we're going to do ayah number 54 of Surah Al-A'raf today. Inshallah, we'll begin with the word meanings. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna, indeed, Rabbakum, Rabb, Creator, Lord, Master, Sustainer, Kum, yours, Allahu, is only Allah. Alladhi, the one who, khalaqa, He created, as-samawati, the skies, or the heavens. This is the plural form of the word as-samai, which means the sky. This is as-samawati. So the skies or heavens, wal ardi wa, and al, the ard, earth, fi, in, sittati, sitta means six, ayyam, days. This is the plural form of the word yom, which means a day. So ayyam, days. Thumma, then, istawa, He rose. He established, ala, upon or over, al-arsh, the throne. Yughshi, He covers. Al-layl, al means the, and layl means night. Al-layl, the night. An-nahar, the day, meaning with the day. Yatulubuhu, this word comes from طلب طلب, which means to seek. Ya in the beginning tells us it's in the third person. So يَطُلُوبُ, it seeks, who it, حَثِيثًا, rapidly, swiftly. Wa and الشَّمْسَ, the sun. Wa and الْقَمَرَ, the moon. Wa and النُّجُومَ, the stars. This is a plural form of the word an-najm, which means the star. So an-nujum, the stars. Musakhkharatin, once subjected. Bi, with or by. Amr, command. He, his. And the he refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala, beware. Lahu, la, only for. Who, him. Al-khalqu, al, the khalq, creation. Wal-amr, wa, and al, the amr, commandment. Tabaraka, blessed is he. He is the source of all blessing. Tabaraka, Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbu, Lord, Master, Sustainer, Rabb al-Alameen, of the world. or universes. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll start the tafsir of these ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. The surah that we're studying right now, Suratul A'raf, has tazkir bi ayyamillah in it, which means that it reminds by the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is that done? What are the ayyamillah? They're the big days. The days on which the past nations suffered great punishments, and they were wiped out completely as a result. We learned recently that some people will not make it to Jannah because they didn't do more good deeds than bad in life. And for some, just one good deed will make all the difference. This should have made us want to do more good with sincerity to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His rewards, which includes getting to Jannah. And we should have thought about good deeds that we can do, and they're so easy to do, but we often miss the chance to do them because we don't think that they're worth much. We think that they're insignificant. We often focus on the big things like studying the Quran and praying Salah. We don't even think about the countless other good deeds that we can easily do and see great reward. Some examples of good deeds that we can easily do are giving way to someone on the road when we're driving, not honking at someone in front of us, being considerate of others on the road, holding the door open for someone, letting someone get in front of us in line, passing food to someone at the table who may be sitting far from it, leaving the bathroom clean for the next person, putting on the fan for someone, drawing the curtains for someone's comfort, and so many other things that are just so easy to do. They're very easy. There are so many other ways to easily earn good deeds, but we don't really think much of them, and we don't even consider them good deeds sometimes. But even covering up another person's faults is a good deed. We don't really pay attention to all these chances that are spread all around us to earn goodness, to do good deeds, to seek rewards. We do get chances to do good, but oftentimes we don't even realize it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the insight to recognize and perform good deeds. We ask Him to give us clarity so we can rush to do good deeds when there's a chance, so we don't delay and miss that chance. This week, let's make the intention of trying to think of good deeds that we don't really bother doing normally, even though they're so easy to do. They don't require much energy or effort, but they're going to add up if we do them for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval. We learn from the Quran that something equal to the weight of an atom might even come in handy on the Day of Judgment. Something that small, it might make the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. So we should prepare, remembering that we might desperately need that one deed that we're easily doing right now. We don't want to be deprived of Jannah because we're one good deed too short. And we don't want to be standing on Arafat either, or na'udhu billah, that Jahannam is decided for us just because we miss out on one good deed that could have saved us. This is why we shouldn't take these opportunities for granted. Whatever chance we get to do good, we should avail that chance, avail that opportunity. We are really needy, and we need all the good deeds we can possibly get. There's a great chance of the big things we do going to waste due to wanting recognition from others or worldly gains. Because when it comes to the big things, people notice what we do. And if we think, even for a second, that other people are noticing, or we're doing it for some other reason, for some worldly reason, for benefits, that good deed will go to waste. But it's the smaller things that may be preserved in our record safely in the end, because nobody notices them. Nobody pays attention to them. Nobody knows. Those are the things that might actually be preserved in our records. So we should really focus on doing them. Even picking up a tissue from the floor is a good deed. Putting away shoes properly so nobody trips and falls over them is something we can do easily. Giving someone a chair to sit on is a good deed. Making space for someone when there isn't a lot of room is also a good deed. SubhanAllah, there are many chances that we can take advantage of, but we miss them if we are selfish and we don't bother to do anything for others, if we're mean. So let's try to do whatever we can to help others and to earn good deeds. Even if we're not responsible for doing certain things, let's just do them because we are needy. We need to do them. Now, let's start with this week's ayah and try to figure out the message Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us through it. May He grant ease in understanding and implementing what we learn. Ameen. Ya Rabbul Alameen. Inna Rabbakum Allah. Indeed, your Lord is Allah. Surely, your Rabb is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does the word Rabb mean? The creator, the owner, the sustainer, master, the planner, the disposer of all affairs, the one who nourishes and raises us is our Rabb. So there's no doubt that our Lord is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? That's explained next. Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard, the one who created the heavens and the earth. He created them and you. When we see the word samawat, it doesn't just refer to the sky that we see above us. It refers to all the skies, all the stars, the planets, the galaxies, and all of space. Now, the advancements in science and technology allow us to understand a little more in depth about the things that are included in the skies, in space. We find out that there are countless stars and galaxies out there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created all of them. And He created the earth that we live on as well. And He created us. So if anyone asks who our Malik is, who our owner is, right away we should say that it's Allah, the one who created everything. And He created everyone. There are none other than Him who control and maintain everything. Only He does. And only He sustains you and everyone else. How long did He take to create everything? Fi sittati ayyamin, in 6 days. 6 time periods. Now, you may be wondering, why 6 days? We learn from the Quran that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends something to happen, He says kun fayakun. He says be and it becomes, it happens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created everything just by saying kun. So why did He take 6 days to create everything? We should think about this. Sa'id bin Jubair radiallahu anhu explained, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can surely say kun and create everything. Just in one kalam hil basar, meaning the blink of an eye, in that much time, He could have created everything just by saying kun. He could have done it all in that time, but He created the skies, the earth, and this entire universe in 6 days due to His complete wisdom. And what wisdom is there in this? He wants to teach mankind to do things step by step, gradually. There's lessons in this for us. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, deep contemplation and reflection and doing things honorably and gradually is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rushing through things is from shaitan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us the importance of doing things gradually, one step at a time, and reflecting on every angle, thinking about it. Deliberateness and patience are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and haste is from shaitan. Oftentimes, people make mistakes when they do things too quickly, when they rush too much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the skies and the earth in 6 days to teach us to do things gradually, one step at a time. This makes us wonder how those 6 days were calculated, because the earth had not even started rotating on its axis yet at that point. And it had not started revolving around the sun yet either. And the moon had not started to orbit the earth when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was creating everything. So how were those days determined? How were they calculated? How long were the days? Some explain that it means 6 time periods. That were as long as the 6 days and nights of this world. But others disagree, and they say that the days of the earth as we know them came to be later, after the sun and the moon were made. They say that the 6 days mentioned here are according to the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are much longer. Even one day near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equal to our worldly 1,000 years. And some even say that it's equal to 50,000 years. So the 6 days that are mentioned here, according to Mujahid, are 6 days of the Akhirah, of the hereafter, which may mean hundreds of thousands of years. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And some narrations say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started creating the universe on Sunday and finished on Friday. And some say that it was the Yom HaSabt, the Sabbath, meaning Saturday, that the Jews really celebrate. They take off on that day and they call it Sabt because work ended on this day. So we learn all these narrations about the time period of the creations of the skies and the earth. Thumma, then, istawa ala al-arsh, He established on the throne of authority. Istawa means to establish or to mount. And the arsh is the royal throne. And how is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How did He rise to the arsh? We're not capable of understanding this. With the limited intellect that we have, we just cannot understand this. And we don't try. because this is one of the ayate mutashabihat, meaning the verses that we just can't understand. And we shouldn't spend too much time thinking or talking about either, because we're not able to understand them. It's just not possible. And we learned earlier that those with a crookedness in their hearts go after these mutashabihat ayat, the allegorical verses. No matter how much time people spend trying to figure out the meanings of the mutashabihat ayat, it's just not possible to understand them. Why? Because we just aren't able to do so. We can't possibly imagine the arsh or how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established on it, or how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So what are we taught to do with these verses that are beyond our understanding? We just take them as they are, without trying to explain them. And we shouldn't ask anyone what they mean either. The Sahaba never asked Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the mutashabihat, because it has nothing to do with our amal, or the things we do as Muslims, the good deeds that we can do. If anyone compares the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the throne of anyone or anything that he has created, that is kufr. It's disbelief. That's how bad this is. So we can't compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his arsh to anything. The only information we have about this is what we learn from hadith. Since we can't possibly understand how it is, we don't try to. We just can't comprehend it. So there's no point in trying to find out more about it. We know that this is the haqq. It's the truth. What lesson is there for us in this? We learn a very important lesson from this, that we shouldn't ask questions about anything that doesn't concern our amal, meaning what we have to do. So if it's not related to the things we have to do, there's no need to be asking questions about it. There's no point in asking useless questions about the ghaib, the unseen. A lot of people ask how the angels are or what the prophets are doing in their graves and so on. But it doesn't make sense to ask these sort of questions. As our knowledge of the Quran increases as we continue studying it, we should learn not to ask silly questions that have nothing to do with following deen. We should focus on the lessons we derive for ourselves from the Quran as we study it, instead of letting shaitan distract us with other things that we don't even need to know. So we shouldn't ask questions like this. And someone asked Imam Malik what istawa ala al-arsh means. Imam Malik thought about it for some time, and then he said, we know what the word istawa means. It means to establish, but we don't know the reality of it. The human intellect cannot comprehend it. It's beyond our understanding. But it's wajib, meaning it's a must to believe it. So we believe it. But asking about how it happened is bidat, because the Sahaba did not ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam such things. So we must believe it. Nobody can say that they don't get it or didn't see it, so they don't believe it. We have to believe it. But don't ask questions about how it happened. So we must believe the ayat that are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his attributes exactly as they appear, without any explanation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hand is mentioned in the Quran, but we can't try to figure out how it is or imagine it or try to explain it. Trying to explain it would be kufr or disbelief. So why would we even try? Some people argue over this point about how the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and they formed different groups as a result of differences of opinion. Astaghfirullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being involved in such things. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. But is there any point in discussing such things or arguing about them when they have nothing to do with our actions? And we know that we can't understand them. Subhanallah. So we have to avoid any discussions about the mutashabihat matters. Just believe whatever we are taught and that's it. We are so weak that we can't even comprehend things that are much easier to absorb sometimes. We just don't get them. So how can we even imagine understanding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on His arsh? Astaghfirullah. This is why we simply avoid asking questions about such things, because we're not capable of understanding. So this ayah tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Rabb, the one who created the skies and the earth in 6 days, and then He established Himself on the throne. If we think about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this, it's because He wants us to know how well He prepared for our arrival here on earth. Think of what we do when someone special comes to visit us. We start preparing long before their arrival because we really care to see them. We're excited. We look forward to seeing them. If we tell that person that we had been planning for the past few days for their arrival, that we'd been preparing, it makes them feel so special. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the preparation that was done for us, so we can understand how much He loves us. He tells us that He created millions of stars and He made the sky as a canopy over us and He decorated the earth for us. He says that all this was done in 6 days. If this means 6 days of the skies or near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means that the skies and the earth were prepared over thousands of years for our arrival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the arrival of mankind for such a long time because He wanted this guest on earth to feel comfortable. And what should we do when we find out about all this? We should value His efforts, appreciate them, be grateful to Him. So this ayah teaches us to do things step by step. It helps us understand how long and how well Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for our arrival here. He could have easily created everything just by saying kun, but He chose to create things gradually out of love and care for us, the way we do when a loved one comes to visit. When we care for someone, we want to do something special for them. يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارَ. He makes the night cover the day. يَطَلُوبُهُ حَثِيثًا. And it seeks it rapidly. Meaning that the day follows the night automatically. It happens very quickly. When it's daytime, everything is so bright. And then all of a sudden, everything is covered by the darkness. And later, the day shines through. And it comes so quickly. So each one follows the other. The day and the night follow each other so swiftly. They don't catch up to the other, but they follow each other. So when it's daytime on one end of the earth, it's nighttime on the other end. And vice versa. This is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a lesson for us in the way the day and the night work. They work constantly. And they work so efficiently, following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without ever stopping. He is the one who created the night and the day. وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ. And the sun and the moon. وَالنُّجُومَ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. And the stars, ones subjected by His command. Musakharat means that he made them submissive, subservient, and they started working for him. He ordered all these things, the sun, the moon, the stars, to work and serve mankind. They work for mankind and they serve us. This is why they keep doing their job, rising at the right time and setting. The sun helps grow our crops, changing seasons according to our needs. And the stars guide people in the seas and in the deserts. And they appear so beautiful. So we enjoy looking up at them. We enjoy just seeing them. All this happens because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjected them by His will. They all work by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what message does this universe give us? It teaches us to work properly and to keep striving, to keep going and continue serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When people are invited to learn the Quran or to do any work for deen, they're afraid of committing because they don't want to do anything that requires a long-term commitment. But the universe teaches us that we have to work constantly in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the sun, the moon, and the stars. They don't ask for days off like we do. As believers, we should not avoid doing any work that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we shouldn't be looking forward to taking time off because we believe. We can't just sit around and do nothing until we get to Jannah safely. That's what we have to aim for. We have to work towards it. And once we get there, inshallah, then we can be content. The universe teaches us to constantly work and to keep going in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't think that it's okay to be busy doing any sort of work as long as we're doing something. We have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we do work. That's what we have to do. Follow His orders and do everything according to His instructions. And we must keep doing this until the end of our lives. The universe gives us this silent message that we have to try and understand. And we should do the same in life. The sun and the moon and stars don't have the intellect or the power to understand things, but they still obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do exactly what they're ordered to do. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to think and reason. So we must know how important it is to keep working, to continue obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people say that they don't have time to do the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to do any work for Him. They don't make time for the work of deen because they're too busy doing their own things. They're not willing to dedicate any time to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the reason why many Muslims don't even know about the basics of Islam. How can we convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to others when we're not even willing to learn and tell others about it? Remember that this is our responsibility as the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as ummate wasat. This is what we were supposed to be doing. A lot of people hesitate to do any work for deen because they know that they won't be paid for it and their work won't be recognized by others. But when they know that people notice their work and they'd be known for doing it, they would be recognized, they want to do it because they want to be noticed. They want to be recognized for their work. So they don't care to do anything where their name will not be displayed. But think about the sun, the moon, and the stars. They don't work to be praised or acknowledged. They simply do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to. We should learn from them. So many Muslims who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claim that they love Him so much and that they would give up their lives for Islam. But they refuse to take out any time for Islam. They aren't interested in doing anything for Islam. Or they do things for recognition. Not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try to highlight their work so others know what they accomplished. So others find out. But that's not what Islam teaches us. There are others who do such beautiful work, subhanAllah, so quietly without showing off about it to anyone or even mentioning it. Their efforts are preserved in their records. But the people who do things for show and fame end up wasting their work because they don't do it with the right intentions. The sun and the moon work together, taking turns coming out, and the day and night alternate without trying to stay longer than they should. This should teach us important lessons that we can use in life. And they constantly obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing whatever He ordered. The sun never decides to rise from the north or the south, and it doesn't leave early on any given day just because it's in a hurry. It never comes out late because it had been busy with other things or it got distracted. It constantly obeys Allah, and it has been for billions of years. So have the moon and the stars. They work tirelessly, fully focused on the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never dare to disobey Him or take a break, unlike us. Think about how obedient and how good they are. This is how we should aim to be as well. Ala lahul khalqu wal amr. Beware. Only for Him is the creation and the command. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is the only one who created everything, all of creation, and the command belongs to Him too. Isn't that simple? He created everything and everyone, so He controls it, and He orders as He wills. Think about how we act when we buy something. Once it belongs to us, we don't want anyone telling us what to do with it. We don't want anyone to interfere with how we use it because it belongs to us, right? And that's something we buy that we don't even create. Now think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how He created everything. All the creation is His. And then He nurtured them and raised them. He sustained them. So of course His order must prevail. It makes sense, doesn't it? So when we say that the creation is only His and so is the order, this is what we mean. It means that the earth we live on, the life we enjoy, the body we enjoy is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He must be obeyed. All these things belong to Him. So we have to follow His laws because we live here on His earth. We use the body He gave us, and we have life because He gave it to us. Even when we live in a country, we understand very well that we have to follow its laws. Why is it that people refuse to follow the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they walk on His earth? And they live under His sky, and they use the body He gave them. They breathe because He allows them to. And they're alive because He keeps them alive. How can anyone complain about being too restricted when they follow His rules, after knowing that everything they have is His anyway? It was given by Him. They wouldn't even be alive if He hadn't given them life or sustained them. How can they find it difficult to obey him when they live on his earth, under his sky? If they refuse to listen to him, they should remember that he gave them life. Shouldn't they return it then? When people admit that all the things in the universe belong to him, they should obey him. As for the disbelievers, the kafirs, they don't believe. But what about Muslims who do believe? It doesn't make sense to disobey when they have faith. They say that they believe in Allah, so why don't they obey him? He is the master, so his orders must be followed. And we can't pick and choose from his laws that we want to follow, or when we follow them. We can't choose to follow them one day and not the other. We have to obey him in all matters at all times, if we call ourselves Muslims, if we claim to be believers. How can we be fearless when breaking the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set for us? When we're afraid of breaking the law of a country or a state because we don't want to get in trouble. We don't want to be considered criminals, so we follow the law of the state and the country in which we live. So shouldn't we be terrified of being criminals in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No matter how many times we claim to be Muslims, we are transgressing if we don't follow his laws. We have to value the laws he made for us, because he is our creator and he knows us best. He knows what is best for us. We follow the rules made by humans. We should respect and follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders too. We have to follow his rules because he is our creator and he sustains us every second of our lives. We have no right to say that there's no need to follow an order of his, because human logic cannot fully grasp the why or how behind a commandment anyway. No matter how hard we try, we just can't understand it. So it doesn't matter if we understand it or not. Sometimes we do and other times we don't. We must follow his commands because he created us. It's as simple as that. Another explanation of this ayah is that there are two ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates something. Two alam. One is alam al-amr and the other is alam al-khalq. These are both Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ways of creation. And with khalq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes time to create something. Like he created the skies and the earth in 6 days, as we just learned. That is khalq. It's creation over time, step by step. It happens gradually. The way a seed becomes a plant, or how a baby is born over 9 months. This is one way of creation. That is khalq. And his second way of creation is through Amr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ruh, or soul, is from the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the order of the Lord. So it happens just by saying kun, be. And it happens. It becomes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created angels and the soul this way. In this ayah, we learn that he is the one who created things gradually, step by step. And he created other things by Amr, by his command, just by saying kun. All those things that he created by saying kun or be are all his creation as well. Everything in this universe was created by him. Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Blessed is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. He sustains all the worlds because he is Rabb. They all belong to him. He provides for and makes everything function properly in all the worlds. He provides food and water for all of His creation. He nourishes them. He raises them. He gives them knowledge. And He protects them. He gives them homes to live in. He grants them offspring and takes care of all their matters because He is Rabb. He is the source of all blessings. He is the possessor of all perfections, and He is full of virtues. A hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, if someone does not praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any good deed and tries to take credit for what happens, saying, I did something, instead of saying, Tabarakallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessed, that person's deeds go to waste. So what should we do when we're able to accomplish anything good? It's by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His tawfiq, right? So we should say Tabarakallah. And if a person believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some control to His servants too, like how some people claim that Allah gave Khizr alayhi salam control over the winds, na'uzu billah, or He gave some of His other servants the authority to fulfill people's needs, astaghfirullah, that person has done kufr or disbelieved if they say such things. So they have disbelieved in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His prophets. And that is deen, that is religion, Islam. Okay, so they have disbelieved, they have committed kufr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one with all the perfections, and He is the ultimate source of all goodness. There is no limit to the good that comes from Him. He is the constant and infinite origin of all goodness. Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb, the Lord, Creator, Sustainer, Master of all the universes, all the worlds. Tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to worship Him in the best possible way in these blessed days of Dhul Hijjah, and may He accept our efforts and be pleased with us. May He forgive us all. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. And please remember that we will not have class next week. We'll be off for Eid ul Adha. Eid Mubarak to all of you in advance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all in His afiyah. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. في ستة أيام.